Hi, this is Joe Heath.
This is Tony Heath.
And this is a special announcement before the actual episode. We're recording this later.
To inform you that we screwed up.
We messed up the recording for the finale of season one.
We did. We did that.
We either were not using the right mic or we had some setting on that was messed up. So we were going through some options. We were either going to re-record or skip this episode and get back to it later. But luckily, we know Vincent E.L., who does our theme song and is super awesome with audio.
He cleaned it up a lot.
Yes, it doesn't sound perfect, but you can actually listen to it without wanting to just rip your ears out.
Which is the kind of quality you get from us.
It is.
It won't make you want to kill yourself.
It is tolerable. So, I don't know what we did, but we apologize for doing that.
And, yeah, we apologize for the quality, and in the future, they will be back to at least amateur quality that it was at before.
Yes. So, what I suggest is for the remainder of this podcast, which is slightly echoey, just imagine we're in a spaceship, together, journeying through space. Or, you know, whatever.
All right, thanks.
Start the thing.
Sorry.
We love you.
Hi, this is Tony Heath over there.
Hi. What are we doing?
I was hoping you'd say, hi, this is Joe Heath over there.
I know, and I know that's what you wanted. And I just was like, oh, we're starting now.
Yeah.
I wasn't not? Ready.
Are you ready now?
No. I'm never ready. Hi, this is Joe Heath.
No, well, now it sounds like you're Joe Heath.
I am Joe Heath. Well, Josephine Heath.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm also Joe Heath.
Okay. Just play the theme song. I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon. And this is the finale. We're on the finale. We made it through an entire season of Doctor
Who.
The
finale.
Fist bump.
No. Oh. It exploded,
yeah. We are going to do the last episode of season one, which is The Reign of Terror. It's six episodes, and I'm going to mispronounce all of these. Give me a second. It's A Land of Fear. Guests of Madame Guillotine, A Change of I... What? That's how you pronounce guillotine.
Okay.
Right?
You said it so uncertainly that it...
I was a little...
Guillotine?
We haven't gotten to the bad one yet. A Change of Identity, The Tyrant of France, A Bargain of Necessity, Prisoners of Conciergerie?
Conciergerie?
Conciergerie.
Are all of those syllables in that word?
I thought it was concierge, but there's an R-I-E at the end of it. It's like concierge... Conciergerie?
What's that word mean?
No clue. I don't even know what it means in the context of the episode. Those aired from August 8th, 1964 to September 12th, 1964. Let's get into it. Yeah.
The Reign of Terror.
The Reign of Terror.
That's the first episode in The Reign of Terror.
Is A Land of Fear.
That's such a good title. So, what was the cliffhanger? Oh, yes, that's right. Ben spoiled the beginning of this one for us.
I'm not sure if I left that in. I think I did. I might have cut it out. I don't remember.
Crap.
I don't remember. I honestly don't know.
Well, I remember cutting this out.
Well, not necessarily, because I remember editing going, do I cut that out because I don't want to spoil, or do I leave it in because it's good? I can't remember which way I did it.
This is going somehow.
Wow, our finale is falling apart.
So the cliffhanger for the last episode was basically the Doctor freaking out after Ian says that he doesn't know how to fly the ship. And the Doctor basically threatens to throw him off.
watched 42 episodes, by the way.
Have we really?
42, yeah. Ooh, that's long to look at.
That's nice. And they basically just talk him out of it with flattery.
Well, they don't entirely talk him out of it. I think that is, Ben Pattinson said that, then it's like not a point anymore, but it remains a bit of a point.
Yeah, because the doctor is, we're on Earth. It's basically, he lands a TARDIS, he's like, you don't believe I can fly this? We're back here, we're back on Earth, get out.
And they're like, well, we don't know where we are. And he's like, oh, well, I'm traveling through the vastness of space. And get a little bit off, you know, that's...
100 years here or there, you're...
Well, he didn't say 100 years, he said 100 miles.
He said 100 miles, and Ian's like, or 100 years. I bet it's 100 years.
Yeah, well, yeah, because they first find out they're in Paris, and then they find out they're way in the past.
Which, by the way, the doctor's like, just leave, just get out. And Susan's kind of freaking out. And somehow they convince them, they're like, wouldn't it be rude to, like, just, like, come have a drink with us?
Yeah, send us off. Don't just be grumpy. You're like, I like, all right, a drink. Yeah, that sounds good. Let's boost it up.
Yeah. That's pretty much how they convince him to not leave them there.
Yeah.
I think he was just being grumpy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he ever actually would. I don't think he's as mean as he acts.
Yeah, but I do feel like, which I thought was actually pretty good about this serial, is it does seem to have this sort of theme of, do they like being on the ship, sort of like, do they like being together, and like this episode,
or are they
sort
just
of
kind of stuck there.
Yeah, but this, I think this episode kind of says like, yeah, we like hanging out with the doctor, and the doctor learns that he sort of likes them,
yeah,
and is trying to get them back. So I feel like that's a nice, that it had a little bit of cohesion throughout the serial with that, whereas sometimes they kind of drop the ball when they do stuff like that. But I feel like this episode did a pretty decent job of keeping all that in mind.
There is a moment where they're like, yeah, I mean, they get off the ship and they're like, this looks pretty much like Earth. This might even be, you know, modern day Earth. This might even be not that far from home. And Susan's like, I'm going to miss you guys if you leave. And they kind of like, well, we'll see. But we'll miss you too if we actually do end up leaving. And they have a bit of a conversation about, yeah, we would miss this.
When we get to that, we'll get to that scene in a second. There's something else I want to talk about that scene, but we'll get to it.
That scene's like in the opening of this first episode.
There's a little bit between just like Ian and Barbara about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also, I swear to God, they were like this close from kissing. Remember?
Yes, I do remember, and it was great. Like, Susan and the doctor kind of walk off.
Yeah, let's build up to it.
Okay.
First off, Susan sees something, and everyone believes her.
And then there's this scene where it's like, Ian's like, don't worry, I saw it too. And I was like, thank God. Thank God someone else saw it. And no one just went, Susan. Susan, you couldn't have possibly seen a person.
You see someone every serial, and no one believes you. And you're always right.
Every single time. So I was so pleased that, like, everyone else saw, and it wasn't, I don't know if it was everyone, but, like, some of them also saw the person, or, like, Ian did, and everyone was like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because Ian went after it, and it was a little boy, and they're like, hey.
French boy.
Yeah, little French boy, and they're like, hey, boy, where are we?
What year is this boy?
And, the kid gets away from Ian, Action Man Ian, and just jiggles and gets away from Ian. And in the process, Ian falls down. He falls every serial, I feel like. It's adorable.
I love it.
I know. It's like one episode, he's taking someone out with his thumb, and the next, a kid knocks him over.
It's great.
It's beautiful.
His
competency
level, yes, thank you, is like wildly varying.
He's like the entire era of Wesley from Angel condensed.
He's like Schrodinger's Wesley. Are you going to get badass later season Wesley?
Are you
going
to get, yeah, like guy who keeps a woman in his closet?
I don't know Wesley. If Ian ever goes there.
I could see him doing it, like, if he needed to do it, sort of thing.
I don't know.
Well, he's killed people.
That's true.
He threw a dude down some stairs.
He's too pure.
Yeah.
He's too fluffy, cinnamon bun, too good for this world to go down that road.
Yeah, but he's got that, like, badass of, like, later season Wesley, But also, like, the goofiness of early Angel Wesley.
Which is ideal. But I think that's all I've ever wanted.
I don't think he has quite as, like, goofy as like, Buffy Wesley, necessarily. But there you go. That's who he is. He's Wesley.
I described him earlier the other day as Space Dad. He's everybody's Space Dad. Space and Time Dad.
So, yeah, the kid gets away, and then we have that's when Ian's like, yeah, 100 miles... And maybe also 100 years.
And the doctor's still kind of like, we'll see. And he does kind of have a speech about, like, the freaking thing travels through the infinity of time and space. Give me 100 years. And Ian's like, no. I don't want to be 100 years and 100 miles from home.
Like, literally, the doctor tries to spin it like, actually, if you think about it, this is impressive.
I mean, a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, true, but, like, he's like, I'm going to leave you in the past.
You'll get there eventually.
I'm going to leave you in the French Revolution. And then they see a house. That's what happens. They find this, like...
It's abandoned.
Abandoned barn, and the doctor and Susan go check it out, and that's when Ian and Barbara stick back to be like, do we want to continue?
Yeah, if this is home, do we really want to stay? And there's kind of, like, for the first time, the question of maybe not. You know, maybe we've actually started to really enjoy this. And their faces get so close, and they're gonna kiss. They don't kiss, but they probably did.
You wanted them to kiss.
It was so... It's a moment before either one of them speaks, and they just step very closely to each other, and you're like, this is it. This is happening.
Now, kiss.
But they go into the house.
Doc is just, like, trespassing. It's like, hey, it looks abandoned. Let's go in.
It's probably abandoned. And, like, immediately Susan and Barbara are just kind of like, here are some clothes. Like, rummaging through things and trying them on. And they just...
There's still shit.
Yeah.
It's the Aztecs all over again.
Only this time they're at least not defiling a grave.
No, but they are stealing people's property, probably.
Because, spoilers, it's not abandoned. It turns out to be these people's hideout. Is that where we are?
I think so, yeah. Like, the doctor gets hit over the head, too.
Oh, that's right, yeah, he does.
Yeah, it's a hideout for the Revolution or something.
They're not the Revolution.
I
was very confused about what side these people were on, because they were saving people.
Let's just say it was the French guys' hideout.
I just remember, by the way, we were watching, and Joe turned to me, and he's like, I'm very confused about who the good guys and the bad guys are. Are the French people the good guys? And I was like, Joe.
They're all French. I'm sorry.
It's the French Revolution.
I had a momentary lapse of stupidity. I wasn't thinking clearly.
They're all French.
I'm so used to, like, war movies and stuff where it's, like, two different, you know, it's these people and these people. I forget that there's also wars where it's, like, you know, them against themselves sort of thing. I know. I'm stupid, okay?
It's fine. But I was frequently very confused about who was who in this, who was on what side, like, and I mean, it's kind of a theme of Barbara and Ian and all them are like, we're English, we don't really have a side, we shouldn't have a side because we shouldn't even really be here, and then we'll get more into that, I think, later, right, because it comes back in a very interesting way, but they're in this abandoned
barn
that is actually a hideout of these characters who have been trying to save people.
Yeah. I guess.
Because a lot of people are getting guillotined.
Yes.
And they're trying to save, they've been saving, like, prisoners as they're being transported. They go and they save them.
That hideout gets found out, and then there's, like, well, there's the people that were part of the hideout, or, like, who are you? And then, like, people come in after them, and then there's, like, a shootout, and people die.
That shocked me a little bit. I don't know why it shocked me, but it did. I was like, oh, we're doing the French Revolution, and people are going to get shot, and people are going to die, and okay.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, not like people haven't died before, and not like I didn't know what this episode was about, but somehow it still is kind of like, oh, wow, that soldier just shot a guy, and, like, there's a shot of him just, like, laying dead on the ground for, like, a good while.
And this is, like, shortly after they made a really, like, bad eye pun joke. Like, because there's this guy with an eye patch. He's like, keep an eye out or something. Something stupid like that. And then immediately, like, someone dies.
Yeah.
It's a little mood whiplash, but yeah, like it gets intense. And then they're going to, they put like Barbara and Susan and Ian and like they're lining them up like in a firing range.
So you have the army basically, or
side.
They find this hideout of the, you know, these people have been stealing prisoners, and obviously you guys are with them or else you wouldn't be in this hideout.
I guess that would be the, cause the revolution is the one that's like trying to save the prisoners, so it'd be the government.
Because it's like a plot point later on that they're not really on either side. They're just trying to save people.
So there's two sides in the middle, but still, like at one point he's like, "You got to be on a side," and he's like, "I'm pretty much with the revolution." That's where he winds up.
I think towards the end.
Yeah. Some of these serials tend to like fade out like towards the end, but I feel like this one had a pretty strong story to tell. But I feel like it's because there was a story structure built around it already with actual history, so they couldn't like, I don't know what to do, because they had like a blueprint of just, well, this is what happened, and they could build around that instead of just, I don't know, they hide out in caves for no reason.
They take Susan and Barbara taken in front of like a firing squad, and why don't they just die again?
They're like, well, we're gonna take them as prisoners instead, because we get a reward.
We'll get more credit for it if we take them as prisoners.
Yeah, and they're like, burn down the house.
Which the doctor has been knocked out, by the way.
Nobody finds him?
No. So they knock him, they hit him over the head, and he just sort of is down for the count. And then they set the house on fire, and he's still down for the count inside the burning house. Which looked really expensive, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know.
This whole episode looked really expensive.
I don't know if that was stock footage or not, but it looked really good, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And the doctor's trapped in the burning house. Burning down the house. That's the end of the first episode, and like you see the house and it pans up with the flames, but the credits start rolling and you still see the flames.
It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
That was the end of A Land of Fear, and now we are in Guests of Madame Guillotine. And I'm going to go turn the dishwasher off. You talk while I do that.
Oh, shit.
Keep going. Well, you can do this. Entertain them.
So, Doctor Who? It's the show that we've been watching. Please come back.
Did you just call him Doctor Who?
No! I'm talking about the show. The show Doctor Who.
Okay.
Is the show that we've been watching. And now we're in.
Did you say anything relevant?
No.
Fine. Guests of Madame Guillotine. We start off in this prison and they establish the hell out of it. There's so many establishing shots.
I think they just kind of got excited. Like, yeah, French Revolution. We're in France. Let's show everybody.
Oh, is that the... I think this is also the episode that begins with the guillotine. But it's like...
But it's a still shot.
And then it like turns into film, like where it slices down. I guess they had like 2 seconds of stock footage and they had to hold it over the title sequence.
So they just froze it. And then Barbara and Susan get separated from Ian. Barbara and Susan get sent to one cell and Ian gets sent into another cell.
And we meet the creepiest guard who's like, I'll leave the keys out for you, Barbara, if, you know, like, be sexy. And she slaps him, which is good. There's a constant theme of, like, Barbara being assaulted.
This is the second, third time that someone's been just gross to Barbara. I feel like it's always handled fairly well.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this is gross. But it's a way people are. Barbara always handles herself very well, I feel like. But it's unsettling.
Yeah.
It's unsettling to watch.
But yeah, so Barbara and Susan get shipped off to one cell. Ian gets shipped off to another. And then we cut back to the barn, and the little boy that bested Ian sees the fire, and I guess also saw that the doctor wasn't with him. And so he's rescued the doctor.
He pulls him out of the burning building.
Oh, and then we get the first of many shots of the doctor walking to the most fantastic jaunty music.
Because they've been taken, they're outside of the city, the doctor is. I'm a ways from the city, and they've been taken into the city. So he just basically is, well, he's got to walk. He's got no other way to get to there, so he just starts walking to the city.
To Paris, yeah.
He starts walking to Paris. And, like, it's, like, the most delightful music. Like you're coming...
That's not it. But it's, like,
Very... That's the royalty-free music you use in everything. The great thing about it is it's not even him.
Oh, right, yeah. Like, there were pre-filmed inserts on location. I think it was actually the first on-location shooting they did. But it's not really William Hartnell. It's a stand-in.
Why?
I don't know. William Hartnell can't walk. I don't know. He's like, I'm not going out there to film. I'm staying in the studio.
And then, like you said, it's the first time it happens, and it happens continuously. And every time, it's just got that delightful, bouncy music. And then you'll cut back to, like, Susan and Barbara tunneling, trying to tunnel out of the prison. And I'm back to, like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah.
Just walking.
After the doctor walks the first time, we cut back to Ian in the prison, and he's like, yeah, this isn't impossible to escape. Of course, Ian. Of course.
If anyone can figure it out, though, it is Ian.
It probably involves him putting on some ridiculous, like, outfit or accent or pretending to be drunk.
Oh my gosh, we need more drunk Ian in this world.
There's someone dying in his cell, and he's very... very hard to understand. He's like, hey, Ian, I'm going to give you some info. You pass it on to James Sterling, and then everything will be cool. You want to do that? It's my dying wish, bro.
And of course, Ian is like, yes, it is now my life duty to make sure that this information gets passed on.
Yeah, he said James Sterling is a spy, and he can give him this information. Find James Sterling. That is Ian's quest. And then he dies fantastically, which is... when he closes it, was he closes his eyes?
He doesn't close his eyes, right? He gives his last line and just kind of like dies. And Ian reacts like he dies. Ian, like, he gets sad. And then he closes his eyes.
And like dramatically tilts his head to the side.
Yes.
Like his head falls. But it's like, oh, you gotta jiff it.
It's like after you thought he's already died, he then dies very comically. And then Ian now suddenly has to react to it and go, oh, I thought you were, oh no, he's even more dead? This is sad.
Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry, did you have, like, more information? I thought you were dead. Oh, oops. Maybe clarify a little bit, maybe enunciate. I don't know. And then we get more walking. And there's some prison labor, they're like tax dodgers or something. Like, I don't know, they're like digging a road. They're like looking for stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know. They're definitely like prison labor, right? Something like that.
Something, yes. Wait, they were all working for this one guy.
And I think they're all like tax dodgers, I'm pretty sure. Something like that. Because like, the doctor just starts talking to this guy, the guy like in control, like the leader.
They're all working for.
Yeah, and the doctor's like, you get more work done if you go and join them. You're an awful human being. And then that guy's like, I bet you don't pay taxes. Get in there and help them, doctor. And the doctor does.
He's like, what? No? Okay.
Like, I think at one point the guy pulls a gun on the doctor to be like, menacing, but I don't think he does it right away. The doctor just does it to begin with.
No, he does.
She's like, all right, I'll pick up a pickaxe and go to town. Like, why?
They're about to lose their heads. We don't have time for this side quest.
Doctor just does whatever anybody tells him to do at this point in his life.
But it's more just like, I don't have the energy to fight this one.
Marco Polo's like, give me your keys. He's like, yeah, all right.
I really pick and choose my battles.
And the doctor's like, get off my ship! And they're like, nah. He's like, alright.
Alright.
We get to Barbara and Susan, Shawshank, and then they decide, never mind, we're not going to do it because there's a rat.
Because there's a rat.
Literally. That they stop because of, I'm sorry, if I'm in prison, fuck rats, I'm getting out. I'm going to shovel, I will like kill the rat and keep going, right?
No, yeah. I think I even said, I was like, that is not a good enough reason to stop.
That's
do
like,
you guys know where you are?
Susan literally like, oh, a rat! And jumps up on the bed like...
Yeah.
Like a woman cartoon in the character. 60s,
like a woman
sitcom.
Portrayed in the media in the 60s. There you go.
That's what I meant. To be fair, I guess that's when this was, you know, made. But still, it was awful.
I mean, I don't like rats. It would probably bother me, but again, so would getting my head chopped off.
So now we are at the eclipse.
This, by the way, is the serial for just excellent plans from the doctor. And this is the first one where it's like, yes, this is how I'm used. to the doctor getting out of things. And the first thing he does is they all start looking off. He gets all the other workers to start looking off into the sky, and they're not working. So the boss comes down and he's like, "The hell?" And they're like, "We're all looking at the eclipse. The eclipse is about to happen." And the doctor's like, "Surely you know about the eclipse." And the guy's like, "Yeah, I know about it." And so they all start staring at the sky. And no one's doing anything but staring at the sky. And finally,
the doctor pickpockets. He steals something from the boss guy. What was it?
It was like a coin.
Oh, yeah, it was a coin.
And so he steals it from him. And then finally, the guy's like, while he's distracted looking at the sky, finally he's like, "All right, we'll see when it happens. Everybody get back to work." And so he takes the coin that he stole and he throws it onto the ground. And the doctor's like, "What? Look at this. I found a coin. It's probably some buried treasure. Like, I bet there's more." And convinced it. And the guy's like, "Wait, hang on a second. All right, all of you guys stop. Stop working. I'm the only one who's going to work now.
Because I'm the only one who wants this treasure. I'm the only one who's going to get this treasure.
It's going to be mine." And so everyone's like, "Hey, peace."
Well, I mean, he starts digging and then the doctor hits him over the head with his shovel or whatever.
Yeah.
Close up on a reaction and one of the other workers like, "That's got to hurt."
And then the doctor continues to jauntily walk. Is that like, where we go from
This is entirely pointless, but it was a delightful little side trip. Side trip. And I mean, it does sort of set up the doctor being clever, because I don't know.
It's like not the first time he's been clever, but it's the most well written time, I could say that.
No, I think that's fair. But I mean, I don't think he's been like this level before, and it's going. He's going to do something much bigger coming up soon.
And it's fantastic. Which, these scenes, by the way, are not short scenes of him walking. I mean, you see him walk the length of an entire path, and you're just like, "Yep, this is happening."
And then we go back to the prison. This guy comes in, this bigwig. I don't remember his name. But he's like, and he's talking to the jailer. And, like, he finds out that Ian heard something from this dying person. He's like, "Give Ian a stay of execution, basically. We're not going to kill him because we think he has information, blah, blah, blah." But Barbara and Susan get shipped out to be executed.
Yes.
And Ian is watching from his prison cell, sad and worried.
It's really upsetting, actually.
And that's the cliffhanger. That is the end of episode 2. And now we're on to A Change of Identity.
I do have to say, real quick, that for some reason, it's not like these have been the highest stakes of any episode so far, but for some reason they got to me more than anything. Like, in the serial we just watched, like, Ian basically only has, like, 3 days to live. And but
it doesn't feel...
Like, yeah, we know he's going to get saved. There's something about this serial that's very, you're very invested in, where you're like, yeah, this...
Well, like, I mean, yeah, because, like, he has 3 days left to live. That's 3 days.
That's 3 whole days in TV time. That might as well be a year.
Susan and Barbara are being carted off to get their heads cut off.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of more immediate, you know?
There's just something about the stakes of this, I mean, the entire serial, not just this episode, where it really got to me more, I feel like. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was the case with you.
No, yeah, I totally agree. So we start this next episode, a little bit of a recap of that. The doctor arrives in Paris.
Finally.
There's like this shot of him sitting on what we thought was like a tombstone at first, but it was like a mile marker.
Yeah.
But he does finally arrive in Paris.
Okay, I want to talk about it.
This guard. The creepy guard, by the way.
The creepy guard. Terrible. Terrible at his job. The worst guard. He drinks on the job frequently.
Keep going.
Okay. For some reason, he goes... to move Ian out from... Oh, I think he was going to give him food.
Oh, the other guy.
The other guy came in.
Guard!
And, like, he's like, "Oh, well, I better go." And leaves the keys in the lock. And somehow Ian just senses this, because he can't see any of this going on.
But he's like, the light from the keyhole has disappeared, maybe. I don't know. Just has psychic abilities. He gained them from Susan.
And the way that this door is that there's, like, you know, a little square cutout with bars that is just the right size for Ian to be able to kind of reach down and take the keys. Only that's not what Ian does.
He does take the keys, and then it's a key ring. He removes the key for his sale, then puts the keys back in the hole.
And then goes and sits back down.
Like, why not leave right this second? Susan and Barbara are being carted off to be executed, and you're going to wait. I know, both of us were like, WTF, Ian,
go.
Ian, go.
Go now.
Like, the guard's talking with this other dude. No one's going to notice. Go.
And, like, I guess he's waiting until nighttime when there are less people and he can go under a cover of darkness or some bullshit. But, like I said, the stakes are pretty damn high. You can just go. We don't need to wait. The store doesn't need to wait. Just go.
But we cut to Susan and Barbara being carted off.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cart stops and...
the horse needs a new shoe.
Does it?
Yeah, that's why it stops.
Oh, but the two people show up and they're like... We're going to rescue you. And it's like a dramatic scene occurring. And like, there's a shootout again. People are dying.
It's
like,
very intense.
Yeah. But they get
rescued.
So yeah, Susan and Barbara are rescued from death.
Oh, wait. The people who rescued them were the people who were saving them, not the people from the hideout. The people from the hideout were people from the revolution.
Were they?
Okay. Yes. Yes.
I'm going to say his name was Jewel. The other guy.
The handsome one?
Yeah.
One of them has the hots for Barbara, and it's very obvious.
Yeah, it's Jewel and that other guy.
The one that flirts.
Leon. I may be getting their names slightly wrong, but I think it's Jewel and Leon. Rescued Susan and Barbara. They don't know their name at this point, but
no.
We know their name because we've seen this serial. We cut to the doctor, who's still not wearing appropriate clothes, I guess. So he goes to this tailor in this scene that is basically the doctor haggling for like 5-10 minutes. He trades his clothes and his ring for like period
fancy
clothes.
Hat. Fancy hat. He has the most amazing hat. Well, and he basically, what it is there's this, I don't know what the, what? You're so excited. What?
He learned something from the Censorites, which is if you if you have a sash and wear it, people will think you are
important. That is essentially what he does. There's this sash and it's like for some high office. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I like that. And the tailor's like, yeah, it's for this high office. And he's like, I know. I am.
Like district or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, that's me. I want it. And the guy's like, all right.
Well, like the doctor at first is like, look at this cool coat I got. You got any coats like this? No, you don't. You ever seen any coats like this? No, you haven't. Yeah. And the guy's like, I don't have much demand for it. He's like, cause you don't have it. If you had it, there would be high demand for this coat. I kid you not. That's the scene. And he's like, all right, fine. He's like, but you got to give me that ring. He's like, I'll give you that ring if you give me pen and paper. Okay. Like, it's just this, like, back and forth, like, flea market haggling thing. Because he gets the pen and paper to forge a letter.
Yeah, papers that prove his status.
Because probably the doctor also learned excellent handwriting from the
Censorites. And he doesn't have psychic paper yet. He hasn't picked up that trick.
Yeah. See, this is showing that there's continuity, that the doctor has learned about sashes and handwriting from the Censorites.
That was his lesson. His learning and growing lesson from the last episode. But his hat, by the way, is magnificent. It's got this just like ridiculous feather thing coming up off the top of it, and it's beautiful, and I love it. And the very first scene, he shows up in the full get-up, you're just like, yes. Good. I'm so glad this is happening.
Before that, we have, like, just Susan and Barbara hanging out with the people that rescued them in the one set. Like, it's just one room that you see over and over again. It's apparently a big house, big hideout.
The one set.
But you only see the one scene that everybody uses that same door. It's, like, ridiculous. Ian finally escapes. I don't know why he waited.
We don't know what he was doing, what he was waiting for, but he does finally.
The guard's drunkenly asleep. And Ian's sneaking around, sneaky, and adorable. But then we find out the escape route has been discovered. Like, the whole cart thing.
Oh, yeah, yes. The people who have been saving people, yes, they've been discovered.
And then we find out Leon has the hots for Barbara.
It's really cute.
It seemed a little creepy to me.
Did it?
A little bit. I mean, especially considering where it turned, sort of how it turned out. but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seemed like Barbara was supposed to be into him, but she wasn't exactly acting like it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it was more like, it was more Susan being like, oh, you got the crush.
And Barbara's kind of like, we'll see. I'm going to keep my options open. He's all right.
I have this thaw waiting for me.
Right. I might set up another boyfriend here. I don't know.
Honestly, I got Ian on a hook. Just saying.
I mean, she knows. She's just keeping her options open.
But the doctor arrives at the prison and in his glorious Music Man attire. With his feathered hat, and then, like, there's this sort of scene of him talking to the jailer that's kind of funny, and it's just the doctor being manipulative and clever and funny and messing with, like, the guard a little bit to just, you know, get his way. And he's also trying to find out if
it's Barbara, delightful.
Barbara, Susan, and Ian are there. And, like, at this point, no. All of them have gotten away. Every single one of them.
Yes.
So the doctor's like, oh, well, I'm gonna go. But, like, then, I think that's when Robespierre, like, is it Robespierre or is it the other guy?
I don't ever remember who's who.
But somebody comes up and is like, oh, you're the head of the district guy.
Yeah.
We need to have a meeting with Robespierre. Am I pronouncing that right, by the way? Robespierre?
You're asking the wrong person, so
Robespierre.
Yes.
But then, like, it's like the doctor, like, trying to also sort of weasel his way out of not going to the meeting, but now he's sort of put himself in this position.
So now he has to go to this meeting about this. I don't know what he's supposedly in charge of. Is it like a township or something?
Something. Because I remember them saying something about talking about his section, his district,
his
or something.
District
I think the
area.
Word district was used.
That he's in control of, and they're like, well, we have questions about that. We were just talking about it. Come to this meeting. And he's like, I really have to go.
And they're like, let me see that letter. And he's like, oh, okay, here it is. And that's when we were like, you don't have psychic paper. But, like, he's, like, going off to a meeting, him and the other guy, the I wish I knew his name. I know what his name is later. I don't remember his name now. let's give him a nickname. Mysterio, because he's kind of, no? Guy with a hat.
Hat guy.
Hat guy.
Hat guy from the jail.
Yes.
Hat guy.
The guy that overheard.
Overheard Ian.
Well, things that Ian knows stuff.
And basically saved him.
Yeah, I think that's actually how they followed Ian when he escaped, I think. I don't recall.
How does Ian even get there in the first place? How does Ian
he hasn't gotten anywhere yet.
But he does eventually. How does that end up happening?
Oh, wait,
he's
Ian,
looking for
it's from the information from the dead guy.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's how the escape route. So they did follow Ian when he got out.
Okay.
That's what happened. That's why I said the escape route was discovered. That's what that note meant. They followed Ian. But anyway, the doctor and hat guy go off to see Robespierre. And the tailor comes in to the jail and is like, that dude's not who he says he is. And I have this ring to prove it, which I'm not entirely certain how the ring proves it. I mean, yeah, he traded it for the stuff. But still, like, that ring's not solid concrete proof.
No, it really isn't.
But dramatic. And that's the end of A Change of Identity. And then we're on to The Tyrant of France, which is a missing episode. The next two episodes are missing, but there's an official animated reconstruction that we watched that is alternately fantastic.
Yes, and very
awful.
Distracting. You can definitely tell that there was a point in time where people animating it were like, yes, this is going well, it's going to look great. And then someone came in and was like, okay, but it needs to be done yesterday. And they went, ah, crap. And it kind of went downhill from there.
It does fine. It cuts a lot back and forth. Like, there's some shots that I wish they would have just left whole. Like, you say, there's a shot of somebody walking from point A to point B, and there's a shot of that, like a 3-second shot of somebody walking from point A to point B. But there's also a 3-second shot of the doctor watching that person move from point A to point B. And they intercut.
They intercut a lot.
Like, second of one, second of another. And it clearly, they could have just shown that 3-second clip of them walking, and then the 3-second shot of the doctor watching.
They cut a lot to avoid animating. So, like, someone will be talking, and you'll be on a close-up of somebody else's eyes kind of thing. And it's like, it made everyone look so shifty and suspicious. because you kept going to close up to people's eyes. You would just see their mouths because that's, you know, easier to animate. And I kind of would have preferred like a wide shot, but that was very still.
I wouldn't have even mind if you held on a reaction shot for a little long.
Yes.
I understand you have to save on animation, but cutting so much, it's just distracting, especially considering, like, this is first Doctor. They don't cut much.
You know, all of a sudden you're like, oh.
This is like Edgar Wright levels of editing. Not as well done, but, you know.
Just in the amount of cuts. That's the only comparison.
Yeah. So as for the episode itself, the Doc gets in the meeting. Like, I feel like he purposefully distracts Robespierre and gets him on a rant about, yes, like, politics and stuff.
Basically, he's like, oh, well, we spent all that time talking about this other thing, and we never got to talk about my district. Oh, well, that's a shame. Gotta go. Bye.
Yeah, but he's still doing it like, I'm really grumpy that I didn't get to talk about what I wanted to talk about. Oh, no, whatever. Susan got sick at some point.
Oh, yeah. It was sad.
I'm not entirely sure how or when. What? I guess because she was in prison for
She caught something in prison.
From that rat, probably.
They carry diseases. But yeah, she comes down with something. And is this the episode where they go when they take her to the doctor?
It's coming up, yeah. But that's also the scene where Susan's like, ships Barbara with Leon. Oh, they bring in Ian. They beat him up.
Yes. How do they know that Ian is a person that exists?
I don't remember. But I don't remember why, but they beat him up.
They beat him up. They bring him in for questioning. And he's like sitting on this chair, like waiting to be questioned. And then like Susan and Barbara are like, Ian!
Yeah, well, not Susan.
Susan's sick, yeah. But Barbara's like, Ian! And Ian's like, Barbara! Leon and the other guy are like, wait, you know him? And he's like, yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, sorry for hitting me a lot. Oops, my bad. But then, like, you have the love triangle going on between Barbara, Leon, and Ian. Though it's not really there. Back at the prison, the guard pulls a gun on the doctor. He's like, yo, you ain't who you say you are. Because I got this ring.
Yeah, he's like, I've got the ring that proves you're not who you are.
And the doc just, like, talks his way out of it?
No.
No?
Okay, he basically is like, I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to use you. You're useful to me. And the doctor's like, all right. That's fine, I guess. And I don't remember how exactly he was useful to him. But he was like, you can help me out. Like, if it's good to have friends, and if I've got something on you, all the better. Kind of thing. Yeah. Like, then I know that, you know, you have reason to kind of help me. That's kind of how that goes down.
Okay. I don't honestly remember. Sometimes it's hard to concentrate just because the animation cut so much, and it started hurting my head. I actually kind of would prefer just the stills because they didn't cut like every 3 seconds. Mm. But back at the other place, Ian shares what he...
Ian goes ahead and shares what he learned in the prison with everybody else at the house.
And they're going to go look for Sterling and the doctor.
They give him is it Leon who gives him a lead basically and is like, you should probably go to this place.
Actually, I think it was Jewel says, yeah, go to this place. I remember it was Leon.
Because
I remember there was like, this like theme of Jewel saying, "Yeah, yeah, go there. That's fine." And like every time, it was awful.
It was the worst. And that is when I assume we take Susan to the doctor.
Yes,
Barbara's really worried about taking.
Ian doesn't want to leave though. It doesn't want them to go because he's worried about losing.
He wants to go with them so bad. They were taking him to the doctor, and the other guy there is like...
Not the doctor, a doctor.
A doctor, yes. They're taking Susan to a doctor, and Ian's like, I'm going too. I'm going with them. And the other guy's like, it's too dangerous. It needs to be just them.
And you need to go to this other thing anyway.
Yeah, and you need to go find Sterling. That's what's important. And Ian's like, I just got them back. I'm not losing them again.
Oh, no. I don't want to lose them either.
But Susan goes to a doctor, and the doctor's like, yeah, you got something. Let's go get some leeches.
On it. Which is like, why didn't we think that this would happen? Why didn't we think that this was a terrible idea?
But they're also like, he seemed kind of sketchy. I mean, other than the leeches thing. And the doctor is left to get the leeches, but has locked them in.
And because it's, they very obviously were just recently prisoners, and he's going to go turn them in.
And that's what he does.
Yes.
He gets some soldiers and takes them back to the doctor's office and they arrest Susan and Barbara. So they're going back to the prison.
They are back in the prison, back where they started.
Actually, Ian's going to Leon. That's he's supposed to meet up with Leon.
He's supposed to meet up with Leon because Leon might know something about Sterling.
Then the Doc and Barbara reunite, and it's cute and adorable. They're in a room together, like he's supposed to be questioning Barbara, and I think Hat Guy's listening in.
Oh, that's right. He's like, we found somebody, and these were prisoners from your district, Providence.
Your district.
He's like, you might want to question him. And so he goes to question him, and it's Barbara, and it's adorable. It's a precious, precious scene where I think they like hug, and he's like, you know, my dear Barbara, you're here, you're fine, and it's cute, so cute.
Yeah. But meanwhile, in this wherever Ian goes to, Leon pulls a gun, and soldiers come out, and he's been betrayed by Leon, and that's the cliffhanger, is Ian getting... you know, ganged up on.
I do kind of like the cliffhanger where Leon has this line where he's like, walked right into my trap. And that's kind of how he says it. He's like, Ian, it was a trap. Ian, duh.
And so we're on to a bargain of necessity, which is another reconstruction. Leon puts Ian in shackles and... Tony?
What?
Are you okay?
I'm fine. What? He puts Ian in shackles, and then what happens?
Apparently you go a flutter.
So?
Tony is, like, super embarrassed right now. You guys can't see that. Apparently Tony likes her men in shackles.
So then what happens?
I turn to you, and I'm like, what's going on? So they put Ian in shackles, and Leon's like, talk, and...
I know nothing. I literally can't tell you anything.
The other teacher's the history teacher, not me.
You want a physics lesson? I don't.
Physics, these shackles hurt.
Oh.
And then, like, back to the prison, Barbara and the doctor are talking and just openly discussing stuff. They're like, oh yeah. Barbara's like, oh yeah, the hideout that I was at's like on 3rd Street. Like,
that's pretty much it.
And Hat Guy's like listening in, and I'm like, oh, God, guys, come on.
They can hear you. I know normally in the show, when you cut away to close ups, the person standing 5 feet away from you can't hear you, but right now we can. It's the opposite of the Aztecs. It works like it works in real life. In fact, I think the guy says something about it later. He's like, you still learn a lot by standing outside of doors.
Yeah. The doc's like, all right, Barbara, what I want you to do, I'm going to go out. And then in, like, a little while, we'll leave the door open. And you leave. Just leave. And she's like, what? And the doc's like, you know, my plans always work perfectly. He, like, legitimately says that. And I'm like, doctor, not always. Oh, remember that time you almost killed everyone?
Remember that time you got everyone stuck in Skaro just because you wanted to go to the city for funsies?
You broke a piece of, like, a thing of, and then legitimately ran out of mercury. Not the best plan there, doctor.
But
to be fair, you've been hitting it out of the ballpark this is the serial
of excellent plans from the doctor. So this plan is actually, it actually works.
Because he goes out and he talks to the jailer.
The guard. The terrible, terrible jailer who's drunk and terrible at his job. In fact, I think he's got a big bandage on his head from, I think Ian hit him on his way out.
Or he fell because he's drunk. Who knows? I don't remember. Yeah, he's like, so I'm going to leave the door open and she's going to escape. And we're going to follow her and find out where her hideout is.
Which, by the way, I think this is actually the scene where Hat Guy is like, yeah, you're fine. Is it not? Or is it coming later?
I think it happens later.
Okay, whatever. But yeah, he basically convinces the jailer, I think this girl knows something. And the great thing about the
jailer's like worried about it because he's like, he doesn't want to do it because
he's gotten in trouble so many times
with Hat Guy.
Yeah, because he's terrible at his job.
He doesn't, and Barbara escapes.
You know, the great thing about the scene is he convinces the jailer that it's his idea to let her go because he's like, I know she knows something. And if only there was some kind of way, and she won't talk. I know she won't talk. She's too good. She won't talk. But if only there was some kind of way to use her to figure out, you know, who her friends are, who her allies were. If only there was some kind of a way to make that happen. And the jailer's like, what if we let her escape? The doctor's like, that's an excellent excellent idea. And kind of later when she escapes and he's like, the jailer's like, so have you been following her? I thought, well, why are you here? I thought you were following the girl. And the doctor's like, what? Why would I do that? I thought you did it.
And he's like, I can't leave the jail. I work here.
And he's like, well, what's going to happen when the guy comes back and wants to know where she is? Whose idea was it to let her escape? And the guy's like, oh, it's mine. It's my idea. I mean, it wasn't. But that's what makes this plane so great. That's what makes this scene so great. It's the doctor just basically
fucking with this guy.
Yeah. I think that we need to point out that Susan's there, and Susan's been put in a different cell.
Mm-hmm.
And
Doc and Susan have a little meeting, and then he's like, I'm going to do this thing that I just did with Barbara.
And it doesn't work, because Hat Guy has a suspicion that Susan is in fact the doctor's granddaughter, and is like, under no circumstances, let her out. I will literally kill you if you let her out. And that's kind of later we get that scene where he's like, yeah, I knew this was your granddaughter. It's kind of why I kept her, because I knew I wanted to keep you here so that I could tell you that I knew who you were and that I want you to help me. And
we're jumping all over the place now.
All right. What happens next?
Well, I just need to go back a little bit. Leon is looking for Sterling. He wants Sterling for his own nefarious purposes.
Is Leon part of the revolution, or is he
part?
He is.
I think they said he is.
Okay.
He's a bad guy, though.
No. That's kind of the whole point of this episode, is that not a bad guy.
He has a guy in shackles and is going to kill him if he doesn't give him information.
Yes.
Great guy.
I mean,
and he's like, tell me the truth. Where are you from? And Ian's just like, really? You want me to tell you? I'm from the fucking future.
I'm from the future? I came here in a spaceship? I want to get back on my time machine and go home. That's the truth. And he does it with like just with that air of just kind of, that's it, of just smugness and like, you don't believe me, but I've told you the truth.
Like, so Leon's like pulls a gun. I was like, well, you're dead because you got nothing. But Jewel busts in and like kicks him.
Yeah.
And shoots Leon and kills Leon, but gets Ian out of the shackles. And he's like, oh, by the way, sorry. Yeah, I should have sent them to the doctor. They're back in jail. My bad.
I sent you here to get ambushed, and I sent them there to get ambushed, and maybe those things weren't the right call.
Also, I totally believed Leon for a while, so I'm not the best judge of people. But I trust you, Ian. Guy that just arrived 2 days ago. But yeah, then the doctor and Susan stuff happens, and then what? Oh, right, we have Robespierre. Talking about, like, there's, like, this plot. Well, they're talking about there's, like, this plot against him, right? And he's, like, super worried about it. And he's, like, if it goes this way, and he, like, names off the specific date. And he'll be, like, it'll be a day that history remembers or something like that. And it's, like, that's your history lesson.
Neither one of us remembers.
Yeah.
We learned nothing. We're terrible at this. We started knowing very little about the French Revolution, and we ended knowing very little about the French Revolution.
Ian and Jewel are like, should we go back to the prison? And they're like, no, let's go back to the hideout first. And they go there, and Barbara's there, and like, whoa, Barbara, how did you get here?
And Barbara's like, just walked right out.
And then she tells them, Susan's supposed to be coming too. And then the doctor, shortly thereafter, which that's not what's going to happen because the doctor's plans got foiled. But they tell Barb that Leon was murdered. Well, it was shot by Jewel, and it makes Barb mad.
And this is what I was saying before, that it was kind of a thing that, no, he's not just a bad guy. And no, it's not that simple. Barbara gets really mad basically saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, she kind of has a rant where she's like, Ian, read a fucking history book before you start saying who's bad guys and who's good guys. It's kind of more complicated and more gray than that, which it's a really nice scene for Barbara.
Yeah, it was sad because she was yelling at Ian.
Yeah.
So then back at the prison, the doc's like, well, I got to come up with another plan. He's like, hey, Susan, hide under your bed for a second. And then she does, and he's like, guard. Susan has escaped. And the guard looks in there and he's like, oh no. And the doc's like, search the room, make sure she's not in there. And then the guard opens Susan's cell, and the doctor bashes him over the head, and then the guard falls over. Doc and Susan run out to escape, but Justice Hat Guy and a bunch of soldiers show up, so...
This is the scene that I've been trying to talk about.
Yeah, the Hat Guy confronts the doctor and says that he knows.
Okay. I thought that happened, like, 2 episodes ago.
Yeah, no, that happens now.
Okay.
They confront the doctor and says, I know that you are not this guy, this, that, and the other. And that's pretty much...
And he basically says, lament. You're going to lead me to the hideout. The doctor says, like hell I will, basically. That's when he says, well, I've got Susan, so you will. And the doctor's like, okay, fine.
Cut back to the hideout. I don't know, a scene happens. They're just sort of waiting. I don't remember what for. But then the doctor and Hat Guy show up. And they awkwardly stare at each other like a, oh, it's you. And then they stop and the title pops up. And we're like, this is really awkward. And we thought it was the animation. But then we get to the next episode, which is Prisoners of Conciergerie.
And that scene actually exists because, well, I mean, they refilmed it because they refilmed it, like,
yeah.
Cliffhangers, kind of. And that scene is just that long and just that awkward. That's just how it was.
They just stare at each other for a bit while the title goes on, and they're like, and start.
And go.
And then they talk a bit, and then the bombshell is dropped. That Hat Guy.
The reason why we can't remember his name is because he is Sterling.
He is James Sterling. He is the spy. So he's been, you know, that's why he's hiding out, learning stuff, and yeah, he's actually a good guy, I guess. So he's, you know, good guys, bad guys, he's more in the gray, I don't know, is that what you want me to say?
No, I just, nothing, it's fine.
Okay, alright. But yeah, and then he's like asking Ian, well, tell me what the dead guy was saying, and then Ian does, and he's like, is there anything more? And Ian's like, you know what?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so. Well, no. He takes like 5 minutes to say, I don't know anything. And then he's like, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. And then says some random thing. And then he's like, wait, that triggers something. It's this place. He said that while he was mumbling in his sleep. And then it's like, oh, it's a meeting place.
They're going to this inn. That must be it.
Yeah, so there's this inn that they're going to. They're going to hide out at this inn and over and like witness this meeting, this big political meeting. They don't know what it is and blah blah blah. They take over this inn. Like Barbara is the waitress, the barkeep, and Ian is like the innkeeper. And
guys, he does a voice.
I'll edit it in so you can hear. There's no reason for him to, well, he says maybe they might recognize him, but still, it's a ridiculous, it's a hilariously ridiculous accent.
I love it so much.
Jack, oh, he's sick. He asked me to help him out. You must be the citizen who ordered the room. This way, citizen. Here we are.
And they cut a hole in the wall so between the bar and the meeting room.
That's very
the
cool.
The bar is a real hole in the wall.
That joke wasn't funny when we
less money now. But so it's like closing time. It's the bar is cleared out, but the two guys come in. They go in the back to hang out, and it's surprise guest star
Napoleon.
Dynamite? No. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes more sense. Yes, Napoleon Bonaparte, the guy that, you know, they named the ice cream after.
Stop. What are you doing?
Sir Napoleon Bonaparte. And he's talking to this guy, and basically there's a plot to kill Robespierre, basically. Like, we're gonna get rid of this guy.
Yeah, and basically the people that Ian and Barbara are with are like, we have to stop this from happening. It can't happen. And Barbara's like, "Buzz gonna."
Yeah.
"Buzz gonna, though." But you can't. She's like, I already learned that. I already had that episode.
And I also love, like, they're talking about it back at the hideout, all these plans and stuff. And the doctor is just like, I don't give any shit. Can I just get Susan and go?
Yeah.
Why are we talking about They're literally talking about it at one point. This may have been earlier, but like he just hangs out by a window.
Yeah, they're all making plans and talking, and the doctor's not there because he's in another room brooding, and someone goes to turn and talk to the doctor. He's like, oh, what?
I gotta be part of this scene? Then Ian and Sterling go, I guess, to stop it.
Which, Barbara and the doctor have a really nice scene. Is it the doctor or is it Barbara and Ian? I think it's the doctor.
The doctor.
Where she just kind of starts laughing and the doctor's like, what? Just like, we've become wrapped up in this sort of plot to stop this thing from happening and we know that we can't. It's just funny.
And it's true, like, Sterling and Ian get there. They don't get there and I'm like, they shoot Robespierre in the face? In the jaw, technically. Mm-hmm. Which is indicated by him holding his face so that you can't see anything and wobbling around. Which is actually kind of a little frightening. It's a little unsettling. I mean, the dude got shot in the face. You don't necessarily see the carnage, but I mean, you know it's there. So that's a little weird. And then...
Well, and everyone's celebrating.
Yeah. And then the doctor goes back to the prison and continues to just fuck with the guard.
Which is not even really... Is it even doing anything at this point? Or is he just doing it for sport?
Well, I mean, he's like saying you need to make room because there's going to be some prisoners in here.
Oh.
Because like Robespierre's been taken out.
And all of his friends are getting arrested.
And these are all prisoners of, you know, the people who are now, I guess, in guard in a way. So get rid of all these prisoners.
Let Susan go, basically.
Yeah, I think other prisoners were released as well. Not just Susan.
Did Susan get released?
Yeah. Susan gets released. Because they release her and they bring in Robespierre. All the people get put away.
The end.
Everybody's waiting for a carriage to come because they're going to get out of Paris, everybody. And they're going to take Ian and Barbara and Susan and the doctor.
I do kind of love that. But it's like, the story is kind of wrapping up and it's like, the TARDIS is 100 miles that way.
Yeah. So they're like, you can catch a ride. And then like, we're going to this weird, very specific portion of the woods. And Sterling's like, Why are you
sure you want me to leave you there? And they're like, yeah, it's good. It's fine. That's exactly where we want to go.
And then like Sterling sort of hits on Barbara while asking this. I swear everybody had the hots for Barbara in this episode. Yeah. So he's like, all right, I'll let you go to this weird spot in the woods. I don't know. And then, which I kind of like the line where he's like, even though it's kind of cheesy, he's like, I have a feeling they don't know where they're going.
Don't let the doctor hear you say that. He will come back there and have words with you.
He'll come back and like, get the fuck out of France. And then we get this stock footage of a horse carriage overlaid with a map. And it goes on for a while. And then they flip the stock footage of the
and they
horse
play
carriage.
It again.
And then we end back in the TARDIS. And the doctor has this little speech that's played out over stars.
I really love the end of this episode. Like, I love cliffhangers. I love the cheesy cliffhangers that you're like, I don't know what just happened, but I guess everyone's scared. But this one has a very nice ending where it is, there's footage of space as the doctor talking about them and like how that's kind of where their lives are is in this adventure. I'm like,
yeah,
kind of ending on it.
This going out into the unknown and seeing what's out there.
And I loved it.
What's up next? You know?
Yeah. Let's go on to the next thing, which is a great way to end a season, I feel like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, I feel like it really kind of solidified, like, yeah, we all want to be here. We're kind of like a family now, and we all just kind of want to go on to the next adventure. Let's do season two.
This serial was, I thought, great.
Just watching the first episode, once it had ended, I kind of turned to Joe and was like, I feel like we just took things up like several notches, mm-hmm. like production-wise, writing-wise, all of it.
Yeah.
It was like, all of a sudden, it was like, hey, we have something here. You know, let's give them the time and the resources to really make it something.
Yeah, and it doesn't have the problems that most of the serials have. I mean, it's sure, sometimes it meanders a bit, but it goes into these diversions, but they're generally interesting or fun. like, everything's tied together more nicely. It doesn't, like, stumble. A lot of these serials start strong and then kind of blah, 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 blah as it goes on. But, like, this one stayed pretty tight. I got a little confused towards the end because I was like, I'm not 100% certain what's going on. But even still, I got it wasn't bad.
You need to read up on the French Revolution.
Yeah. I feel like maybe that might be a little bit of a writing fault, is that just assuming that people know what happened.
Is that a writing fault or is that like a education fault?
Well, I mean, if you're going to tell us... Well, I mean, it's supposed to be slightly educational, you know? Don't assume. This show does sometimes go out of its way to be like, well, this is what happened.
I feel like it did.
Yeah, but I mean, towards the end, it kind of stopped, I feel like.
No. I do, I mean, like, I really there's a scene where one of the side characters kind of talking about, like, who knows, you know, what's going to happen next with France, and Ian's kind of like, I'd watch out for that Napoleon guy. And he's like, what?
That guy?
I enjoyed that.
The guy that named the ice cream after? What? I mean, three flavors together is pretty awesome. But we're in the country. But yeah, but I liked it. It was good. The music was good, too.
It was good. I mean, I really want that song of like that the doctor walks to. I want it and I just want to play it as a soundtrack to my life. It was great.
Yes, set design was great. This was their first serial where they did on location filming. That was great and added a lot of quality to it.
Yeah.
The doctor's costume was fantastic.
Oh yeah. I mean, his whole, I don't think it would, I mean, we talked about how great it was, but he had this like magnificent cape and the hat was great. The whole thing was fantastic.
This whole series.
Well, I mean, like, the Aztecs had some really great costume design. Not to say that this is, like, the first one with great costume design. It's just that everything was kind of
yeah.
up there. Where, like, Aztecs had, you know...
Aztecs had that, like, cloth backdrop
right.
scene. And
so far, everything where you're like, that was one thing that was really strong, and I can see how... And, like, or, like, Aztecs had really great costume design, and Centaurites had really great... design of, you know, like, the Centaurites themselves, and certain other ones had, like, really great storytelling, and other ones had really great character moments in it, and, like, this serial was like, now let's put all those things together.
Right.
And make something awesome.
It was very solid.
Yeah.
Like, on every front. And I feel like, yeah, and also, like, just it had this ongoing theme of, do we want to keep doing these adventures? I mean, that's what that whole wrap-up at the end is. Like, yes.
Yes,
let's keep doing this. Let's go. Let's explore. And it's all throughout the serial. And that rarely happens. Or they're like, oh right, we have to throw it back in at the very end. But like, this was pretty solid.
Yeah.
Like, and it built to that. Maybe it being a historical, having like a structure already there that they can build off of instead of making up as they go along, really helped make this a really solid finale.
It was excellent. It was excellent, and the ending was fantastic. I mean, I kind of was like, I don't know, it felt like a significant, like, there are moments when you're watching Doctor Who where you're like, this is a fandom moment. Where it's like, you're watching this, and you know, like, other people are watching this, like, yes. We are all watching this thing together, and we are all feeling the same thing. And I felt that watching that, like, end monologue of like, yeah, we are a part of this thing. And it was excellent.
Just a real good serial.
Yeah.
I'd say it's possibly my favorite of this season. Like, it's a really strong, solid ending.
Yeah. I think perhaps instead of ending this podcast on a cliffhanger, like we have talked about always, that is a thing we want to continue now. Maybe we just end it by saying that we really like doing these podcasts and we want to keep doing them.
Yeah.
So on to the next one.
Yeah, we'll be back with The Planet of Giants, I believe, is the name of the next serial, which you're going to love, by the way.
Oh, things are going to be out of scale, aren't they?
Maybe.
Ah, yes. I'm so excited. I love things that are miniature, and I love things that are giant. I love anytime anything is out of scale. It's my favorite. I love tiny food, little tiny things. I really love tiny things that are still functional. Because this is going to be great. It's going to be great.
It really is. And I can't wait to experience it with you.
Mm, that was cheesy.
Yeah, no. Thanks for listening to the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Yeah, it's been fun.
join us next season. Join us on our adventure.
Our lives are important, at least to us. But as we see, so we learn.
And what are we going to see and learn next, Doctor?
Well, unlike the old adage, my boy, our destiny is in the stars. So let's go and search for it.